Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph of Friday, November 27, 2020. Let's start with the front page, where we have a large photograph of Deb Cochran, a volunteer with Children's Home and AIDS Adopt-A-Family program, looking over items to be donated. This Thanksgiving is presenting unthinkable challenges for both groups and those who rely on assistance, and Deb is looking over a table full of clothing and blankets and various items for donation. And the headline reads, Care During COVID. Bloomington Normal Groups Still Giving Back This Holiday. And it is datelined Bloomington. COVID-19 is changing, not ending, some traditional holiday assistance programs for McLean County families in need this year. Help remains available, though in some cases it may be offered differently. And that is good, as needs are greater this year because of economic hardship caused by the pandemic, representatives of several human service agencies told the Pantograph last week. Our families are struggling a lot more than most typical families in our area because of unemployment and economic despair that has been a result of COVID-19, said Amy Bean, Vice President of Development and Public Relations for the Baby Fold. The school situation, the online learning at home, has been extremely difficult for low-income families because some parents have had to stay home with their children rather than work because they cannot afford childcare, she said. Like many organizations in a COVID-19 world, nonprofit groups face new challenges this Thanksgiving season, many unthinkable a year ago. It's a double whammy. The needs are growing higher and higher as economic hardships continue, while there are anxieties about donating during so much uncertainty. And still, groups are staying focused, adjusting, and bracing for what comes next. Matt Burgess, Chief Operating Officer for Home Sweet Home Ministries, said, One of the things we know is what you do year to year may be different, but it's important to preserve the message that there is hope and a place for them, people in need, in our community. It's more important this year to pause and think about what we are thankful for, Burgess said. Most of us can do that. And here are some places where Central Illinoisans can get and provide help during the holidays. Home Sweet Home Ministries. Several weeks ago, Home Sweet Home Ministries made the difficult decision, because of rising COVID-19 infection rates in McLean County, to adjust traditional deliveries of meals by volunteers on Thanksgiving and Christmas for older people and those with disabilities. Instead of taking food to them, people will receive greeting cards with grocery store gift cards in the mail and a phone call on Thanksgiving and Christmas from volunteers, explained Burgess. Home Sweet Home already has the list of households receiving gift cards this year and is not accepting new applicants, he said. There is a lot not to like about the changes we needed to make, Burgess admitted. But we are still keeping the volunteers engaged and still connecting to the people that they serve. Also, to help control the community spread of COVID, Home Sweet Home's Thanksgiving and Christmas sit-down meals, traditionally open to anyone, this year will be only for residents of Home Sweet Home's Billy Shelper Homeless Shelter at 303 East Oakland Avenue in Bloomington, Burgess said. But anyone may pick up a hot lunch to go while supplies last on either holiday, and sack lunches are available every day, he said. People who wish to financially support Home Sweet Home's efforts may do so at hshministries.org. Our methods may change, but our message remains the same, Burgess said. Our message is everyone in our community is valued, and Home Sweet Home cares deeply for them. The Salvation Army of McLean County. The Salvation Army is accepting donations of new coats, focusing on coats for children under age 5, and adults over age 18, said Director of Development Angie Buben. Coats may be dropped off at 611 West Washington Street in Bloomington from 8:30 to 4, Mondays through Fridays. At this time, we can't take more requests from people who need coats, she said, but we hope to resume that when we receive more donations. She urged people to check sabloomington.org, where a notice will be posted when coats again will be available for pickup. The Salvation Army also has begun its annual Christmas fundraising campaign. Red kettles have been going up at stores throughout Bloomington Normal this month, with the third and final round of kettles going up on Friday. Kettles traditionally are up at 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, with the exception of Thanksgiving Day through December 24th. And people may also donate at salarmy.us/bloomington-kettle or at sabloomington.org. Anyone interested in volunteering to be a bell ringer may go to registertoring.com. The U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots. With state mitigation efforts to slow the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, Toys for Tots of McLean County is in need of donations more than ever. Due to the COVID situation, we have lost four of our major fundraisers and toy drives, said Troy Ziegler, director of Toys for Tots of McLean County. Each year, Toys for Tots of McLean County delivers new toys and other gifts to thousands of McLean County children in need. Last year, the organization delivered more than 13,000 gifts to 4,372 children. Under new restrictions on businesses and gatherings, Toys for Tots of McLean County has lost 40% of its drop-off locations and has 3,000 to 4,000 toys in storage. But the organization needs more toys and is planning a drive-through toy drive in December, Ziegler said. Details will be announced at a later date. The need, we feel, is going to be up this year, he said. Ziegler said last year the organization's goal was to collect 15,000 toys, but said they are shooting for at least 10,000 because that would be the bare minimum that we would need to get us through the year. Current drop-off locations are listed on the organization's Facebook page. New, unwrapped, donated toys may be dropped off through December 14th, and monetary donations are also welcome at https://bit.ly/39fawin. The Christmas for Kids Party. The 39th annual Christmas for Kids Party will transition to a drive-through toy and candy giveaway from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. December 12th at Midwest Food Bank, 2031 Warehouse Road in Normal. The toys and candy will be for children ages 12 and younger, and that will take the place of the annual Christmas party. To register, email bnchildrenschristmas@gmail.com and include the number of children participating, age, gender, address, phone number, and a preferred pickup time. The giveaway is sponsored by the Bloomington Normal Trades and Labor Assembly, the McLean County Chamber of Commerce, and the Pantograph. Children's Home and Aid Adopt a Family and Stuff the Bus. Individuals or groups looking to spread a little holiday cheer may choose to adopt a family in need by donating gifts, household items, or money for those receiving Children's Home and Aid services. This year, Children's Home and Aid is assisting 170 families, which is 30 more families than the previous year, said program coordinator Laura Cordero. And donors are matched with participating families, but this year, groups and individuals may choose to purchase store gift cards for the families in need rather than shopping for various items in stores. Walmart, Meijer, and Target gift cards are preferable, Cordero said. Participating donors will receive a profile of the family that contains a brief synopsis of the family's situation, and each individual in the family will have a personal page that outlines their needs, a wish list, and clothing sizes. All of our families are in a little bit more dire straits this year than we have been in the past, Cordero said. A lot more homelessness, a lot more joblessness, so any support we can give them is extremely helpful and much needed. The deadline to adopt a family is December 4th. Email lcordero@childrenshomeandaid.org for more information. Monetary donations are welcome. Bloomington Normal residents may notice a Connect Transit bus making stops at local retail stores for the annual Stuff the Bus campaign. Each year, the program seeks to fill the bus with baby items to benefit children who use the Children's Home and Aid Crisis Nursery. The bus will rotate between Walmart in Bloomington and Normal and Kroger on College Avenue between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m., November 30th through December 5th. This year, the event, because of COVID-19 guidelines to limit group gatherings, may look a little different with a significant decrease in volunteers, said event coordinator Jeannie Higdon with Children's Home and Aid. Typically, the event relies on more than 500 volunteers each year, but this year the event will only have a small core group of staff or committee members accepting donations. I am optimistic that the event will be as successful as it has been in the past, Higdon said. Our community has just been so wonderful supporting us historically, and I really anticipate us being just as successful. Needed items are Enfamil Gentle Ease infant formula, diapers of all sizes, wipes, and anything a child from birth up to age 6 would need, Higdon said. Additionally, people may limit contact by using a new texting hotline in partnership with Great Plains Media. Text STUFF, STUFF, to 77000, which will take donors to the Stuff the Bus donation page where people can make a monetary donation. The Baby Folds Christmas Wish Life Program. Volunteers purchase gifts or gift cards, make a monetary contribution, or donate wrapping paper, tape, bows, gift bags, or batteries to the Baby Fold so the agency can fulfill the wish lists of children and teens served by the agency. People may drop off unwrapped gifts from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., December 10th through 12th, at 1500 Fort Jesse Road, Suite A, in Normal. By having long hours over 3 days, gifts may be dropped off in a safe and socially distanced way, said Amy Beam, Baby Fold Vice President of Development and Public Relations. People may go to thebabyfold.org/wishlist to register to be emailed a gift list or to make a monetary donation online, Beam said. The need is really big this year, she said. She said 690 clients have submitted wish lists this year. And that is 90 more than last year already, and the number is still growing, Beam said. More information is at sgillery@thebabyfold.org or at 309-451-7202. And the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington Normal Holiday Shopping Spree. Traditionally, Boys and Girls Club offered a holiday shopping spree for its families when families could come to the clubhouse at 1615 West Illinois Street in Bloomington and select toys, games, coats, hats, shoes, and holiday food baskets. Volunteers would wrap gifts for families. This year, to limit the flow of people into the clubhouse because of COVID-19, families will be asked to pick up items at designated pickup times between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. December 19th, said Club CEO Tony Morstadter. Families will take unwrapped gifts because there will be no gift wrapping stations, and also no juice, coffee, and pastries will be offered this year, he said. Donations of wrapping paper and scotch tape may be dropped off at the clubhouse from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. In 2019, we supported over 250 families, he said. This year, we have seen 165 new families that have expressed a need. I would attribute part of it to an awareness of what we do and part of it to the economic hardship we're all experiencing at this time with COVID, Morstadter said. This year has proven to be difficult in many ways for all of us, he said. We will miss the social aspects of our families participating in this event, but that difficult challenge in no way compares to the challenges and barriers that many members of our community and our families are experiencing at this time. And the Pantograph Goodfellow Fund. The Goodfellow Fund assists Central Illinoisans in need. Monetary donations from Central Illinoisans fuel the fund. Make checks payable to the Pantograph Goodfellow Fund and mail them to the Pantograph Goodfellow Fund, P.O. Box 680, Bloomington, Illinois, 61701, and include the form that you can find online. We'll go to our next front page story. This is about the holiday season. It's headlined, Bloomington Normal Celebrates Thanksgiving, and it is datelined Bloomington. Whether it was at home, on the road, or at places serving those in need, Thanksgiving was certainly different this year, but the holiday maintained a common theme of food, family, and feelings of gratitude. Many people reported having smaller gatherings this year, and from restaurants to churches, meals switched from indoors to outdoors or to-go boxes. At Abundant Life in Christ Church, a non-denominational church in downtown Bloomington, its small staff, bolstered by volunteers, was preparing to serve 200 to 300 people a Thanksgiving meal. We usually gather at tables inside, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, tables were set up outside, and Pastor Charles Aaron said, we expect the meals will be mostly to go. Angie Carter of Full Gospel Church in Hayworth was cutting pies with her sister, Bridget Carter, as part of an assembly line of volunteers in the kitchen. Although her sister had volunteered before, this was Angie Carter's first time. Especially with this year going on, everybody needs a little help and love, she said. Abundant Life serves more than 400 meals a week through daily lunches and also operates a clothing and food pantry. Aaron said he was thankful for the people the church gets to help, the ministry staff and volunteers, and the community itself. There's always a big need, he said. Meanwhile, Cracker Barrel Old Country Store in Bloomington was as busy as ever, despite having no inside dining service. Instead, cars were lined up, following colored arrows in the parking lot to pick up orders large and small. Manager Jasmine Booth said business was about the same as a typical Thanksgiving, and she recognized some familiar faces among the customers picking up orders. With staff outside directing traffic and delivering meals, she was thankful for Thursday's dry weather after 2 days of rain. Brandy Martin of Carlock was thankful for the dry weather too. As her shift at Cracker Barrel neared its end, she was looking forward to dinner at home with her husband, his mother, and her parents. Normally, we would have had 16 to 20 people, but this year we're keeping it small, she said. We're going to do the call and talk to each other. Cynthia Lopez of Bloomington was picking up the family platter for eight. Usually, she and her family would eat inside the Cracker Barrel on Thanksgiving, but they kept the tradition alive in modified form with the carryout meal. I'm thankful for my family, she said. Everybody is still healthy. Jim and Linda Tabaka of Lakeville, Minnesota, stopped in their large motorhome to pick up their Thanksgiving meal on their way to Florida. The drive takes them about 5 days, and this year they started the journey a bit early. We're missing family, Linda Tabaka said. They said, go. We weren't going to get together any time. Because of COVID-19. The pandemic also altered traditions at Home Sweet Home Ministries. Rather than have volunteers crowded together, making and delivering hot meals, greetings and gift cards were mailed to recipients of delivered meals last year. Home Sweet Home Ministries also teamed up with Midwest Food Bank and Thrivent Financial to distribute meal boxes to 2,418 families representing 8,918 people. And this story is accompanied by some photographs. One of them is of Bridget Carter and her sister Angie, members of the Full Gospel Church in Haworth, who are serving up donated pie from Hy-Vee as they volunteer to prepare carry-out Thanksgiving meals at the Abundant Life Church in downtown Bloomington Thursday. The church was expecting to serve about 300 homeless and underemployed for the holiday. And our last front page story is a national one about the Supreme Court. It is headlined, Court Rejects Worship Limits. It's from the Associated Press and datelined Washington. With coronavirus cases surging again nationwide, the Supreme Court barred New York from enforcing certain limits on attendance at churches and synagogues in areas designated as hard hit by the virus. The justices split 5-4 late Wednesday night, with new Justice Amy Coney Barrett in the majority. It was the conservatives' first publicly discernible vote as a justice. The court's three liberal justices and Chief Justice John Roberts dissented. The move was a shift for the court. Earlier this year, when Barrett's liberal predecessor, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was still on the court, the justices divided 5-4 to leave in place pandemic-related capacity restrictions affecting churches in California and Nevada. The court's action Wednesday could push New York to reevaluate its restrictions on houses of worship in areas designated virus hotspots, but the impact is also muted because the Catholic and Orthodox Jewish groups that sued to challenge the restrictions are no longer subject to them. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Democrat, said Thursday the ruling was more illustrative of the Supreme Court than anything else and irrelevant from any practical impact, given that the restrictions have already been removed. Why rule on a case that is moot and come up with a different decision than you did several months ago on the same issue? Cuomo asked in a conference call with reporters. You have a different court, and I think that was the statement that the court was making. The Diocese of Brooklyn and Agathoth Israel of America have churches and synagogues in areas of Brooklyn and Queens previously designated red and orange zones. In those red and orange zones, the state had capped attendance at houses of worship at 10 and 25 people, respectively. But those particular areas are now designated as yellow zones with less restrictive rules that neither group challenged. The justices acted on an emergency basis, temporarily barring New York from enforcing their restrictions against the groups while their lawsuits continue. In an unsigned opinion, the court said the restrictions single out houses of worship for especially harsh treatment. Members of this court are not public health experts, and we should respect the judgment of those with special expertise and responsibility in this area. But even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten. The restrictions at issue here, by effectively barring many from attending religious services, strike at the very heart of the First Amendment's guarantee of religious liberty, the opinion said. The opinion noted that in red zones, while a synagogue or church cannot admit more than 10 people, businesses deemed essential, from grocery stores to pet shops, can remain open without capacity limits. And in orange zones, while synagogues and churches are capped at 25 people, even non-essential businesses may decide for themselves how many persons to admit. Roberts, in dissent, wrote that there was simply no need for the court's action. None of the houses of worship identified in the applications is now subject to any fixed numerical restriction, he said, adding that New York's 10 and 25 person caps do seem unduly restrictive. The governor might reinstate the restrictions, and he also might not. And it is a significant matter to override determinations made by public health officials concerning what is necessary for public safety in the midst of a deadly pandemic, he wrote. Roberts and four other justices wrote separately to explain their views. Barrett did not. And let's go now to local and state news. Four villages missing out on grant money. This story is Dateline Bloomington. Four McLean County communities are missing out on federal grant money totaling more than $80,000 to support struggling businesses during the COVID-19 pandemic. The local CURE program has been working to disperse federal coronavirus relief funds in Illinois to local governments outside Cook, Lake, Will, Kane, and DuPage counties since late September. The units of government eligible to receive funding include counties, municipalities, townships, and special districts. We are still seeing far too many local governments not taking the necessary action to claim their funds, Governor J.B. Pritzker said during a news briefing in Chicago. This is another urgent call today to downstate communities to claim the dollars that have been made available for you. Small businesses, including bars, restaurants, retailers, and entertainment venues, are eligible to apply for grants through their municipality. The total amount given to a community is based on population. To qualify, small businesses must have lost revenue due to closure or restrictions caused by the pandemic, have not received an Illinois business interruption grant, may not be delinquent on any taxes, and must comply with Illinois executive orders. Businesses can use grant money for payroll, operating expenses, lease or rent payments, and modifications needed to comply with reopening rules. In McLean County, $80,649 has not been claimed. The following villages can still apply to receive their allotted funds. Anchor, $6,023. Cooksville, $7,508. Ellsworth, $8,044. And Gridley, $59,074. Representatives from these communities were not immediately available for comment. Local governments can also use the funds to help pay for pandemic-related costs like personal protective equipment and contact tracing. Statewide, more than 350 local governments have not claimed their funding. And this story is headlined, Illinois Approaches 12,000 Deaths from COVID. Illinois approached 12,000 deaths from COVID-19 with the addition of 131 new fatalities reported Thursday, state health officials said. Those newly reported deaths gave the state 11,963 deaths amid the ongoing pandemic, they said. The state also has 12,022 new confirmed and probable cases of the coronavirus, bringing the total numbers of known infections in Illinois to 697,489. Department Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike said the first sign of a post-Thanksgiving wave of coronavirus infections would arise in cases within the next week or two. That could be followed by a new surge in hospitalizations and deaths, she said. The state's seven-day positivity rate dropped slightly, falling to 10.3% from 10.6% the day before. Thursday's decline marked the seventh day in which the positivity rate had fallen in the last nine, after rising rapidly over the past month. And the state continued to experience large numbers of COVID-19 hospitalizations, 6,032 in Illinois hospitals, with 1,224 of them in intensive care unit beds, 724 on ventilators. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph, Part 1 of Friday, November 27th, 2020, I look forward to reading part 2 with you soon.